And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly program about finance, money, and investing. I'm your host, Ray Trevison from OTG Capital, and this program is broadcast locally on Radio Northern Beaches and nationally through the Community Radio Network. This week, I'm really pleased to have at the microphone for the first time Neil Sparks, and he is from the SMSF Association. Now, self-managed super funds are very, very topical. And Neil, the reason why I've asked you onto the show is that I've actually had a long association with the SMSF Association. My company actually used to advertise with you for a little while, and we haven't done that for a little bit now because of COVID and a whole bunch of other stuff. But you guys, I see as being really amongst some of the preeminent experts in the self-managed super fund environment. So I thought it'd be really good. You wrote an article recently about the appropriateness of SMSF. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to invite you onto the show. So thank you for coming on and welcome.
You're right. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. So look, one of the things I like to do on the show, I'm not a resident expert. I mean, I've trained and I've qualified in a number of different things, but the reason I like having you guys on is because you know a lot more about this stuff. So I think as a great starter, maybe give the audience a bit of an idea about who the SMSF Association is and who Neil Sparks is.
So the SMSF Association is the peak independent professional association that represents the SMSF sector. Our purpose is to raise the standards of advice by all SMSF professionals. So we're not limited to financial planners. Our membership extends across all of the professions that service the SMSF industry: advisors, accountants, auditors, actuaries, lawyers. So basically everyone that provides services to SMSF trustees can be members of the SMSF Association. And our real sort of, I guess, vision and mission is to better educate trustees and help them make informed decisions for their retirement. Who's Neil Sparks? I guess I'm a 20-plus year industry veteran of the SMSF sort of industry, and currently I'm the head of membership and corporate development for the SMSF Association. So my job's out there to work with our members, the people that would like to be members, and all of our corporate partners as well, in working sort of together to enhance the sector.
And I think one of the important elements of your ecosystem too, Neil, is the product providers. Now, when I talk to a lot of clients and people with I associate with my own fund, for example, they don't normally think of product as being people like, you know, life companies and investment companies, but they are product providers. And I think part of that education process that you talk about in this ecosystem is making sure that product providers are also held to account, but also do the right thing in the SMSF's sphere as well, don't you think?
It's a really complex area. SMSF is very complicated because it's a financial product under corporations law. So what that means is to give advice on a self-managed super fund, so whether to set one up or wind one up or start a pension within one, or even make contributions to one, or even just rolling over your benefits from another fund into it to get it started. All of those elements are financial advice and you need to be licensed. So again, this comes back to our sort of fundamental position that even though it's called a self-managed super fund, don't get hung up on the word self. You know, surround yourself with really capable people that will help guide you on this journey. I mean, they're the most amazing vehicles. As an entity, you've got a product, I guess, for want of a better word, that provides really great wealth creation opportunities, wealth protection opportunities, and distribution opportunities. So paying your money out to that next generation through your fund. So, as you say, as an ecosystem, everyone's got a part to play in that. And it's making sure that when you are providing information, you are giving just factual information. If you're giving advice, then you need to be licensed to give that advice. So it's making sure that everyone knows how it works and where they fit inside that ecosystem. And what we see as a challenge to the sector is the one-stop shop. So ASIC have taken a view, and I'll explain that in a moment. ASIC have taken a view, as we know, so an SMSF is a financial product. When you attach property, which is not a financial product, to the structure that's going to own it that is a financial product, then the whole transaction becomes financial product advice.
Right.
So we have a situation where it's a giant pool of money, $890 billion. 600,000 plus Australian self-managed super funds, 1.1 million members. So when you've got money, it's attractive. So when you have the one-stop shop where they can sell a structure to set up a fund, the property, the mortgage, the ongoing administration, you could be paying the one-stop shop five times to get the fund established and so on. Not to mention the ongoing fees that they're receiving for administration, mortgage payment, commissions, these sorts of things. So somewhere between 5 and 8 ongoing payments from structuring one of these things. Mostly that's unadvised. So that's a real risk to the sector. If Australians think this is the way to go and they embrace the one-stop shop for a simple solution to everything because SMSF is complex, they may not get the outcome that they had hoped for. It's not the path to riches. There is work involved. So we need, as your term, the ecosystem to come together and know where everyone fits within it and only work with inside the boundaries of that. And then that way, the consumer gets the best possible outcome from this amazing entity that they've set up for themselves.
Neil, I'm so glad you've raised that because Dollars and Making Sense is all about education. And one of the things, and again, for the listeners that have been in the show now for a long, long time, I am licensed and I actually hold an AFSL myself as a responsible manager. We get approached by a number of organizations to become licensed under our structure. And one of the things that we see is very popular in the SMSF sector is property being linked with SMSFs. And I've said no far more often than yes to people that want to be licensed in this space because of exactly what you've just described. When they sit there and say, well, we're not giving personal advice. And I look at them and go, oh, hang on a moment. You've got a mum and dad investor that's come along. They've got an industry super fund. And then 3 months later, they've bought a piece of property through you and they are now an SMSF trustee. And you're telling me that you've not given them advice. And I sit there and scratch my head and I'm going, I don't think so. And so we certainly don't go down that path. But I've jumped ahead a little bit. One of the things you've quoted some great numbers, and I was going to ask you about the numbers in the SMS. I mean, I know these, but obviously, we've got an audience out there that don't. And, the super system now is over $3 trillion. It's an amazing situation that we are one of the most funded retirement populations in the on the planet now, thanks to, I guess, Paul Keating back in the 90s when they set up the super system. It's evolved over time and I have people on the show all the time. I have super experts from the Taxpayers Association. We talk about this a lot, that the rules keep changing, but we're changing them for good reason. And I think one of the reasons, Neil, I saw this piece that you wrote and it came into my inbox and I wanted to interview you because this piece, and I'll link this in our blog when we've posted the article and this interview, but you highlight some really important factors that I want people to start understanding that it's not for everybody. I mean, I have an SMSF. I've had one for 22 years, but I'm in the game and I like to think myself as a reasonably educated person, but an SMSF is not for everybody, is it?
No, it's not. But nor should the concern about a minimum balance be an issue as well. True. ASIC put out some what they call red flags for SMSFs in about 2019. Some of those red flags are that if you just want a simple superannuation product, then you shouldn't go into an SMSF. If you want, if you have low financial literacy, then perhaps an SMSF is not for you. And when we talk about financial literacy, we're talking about the ability to understand trusts, companies, and structures. Mm-hmm. Because the best way to have a self-managed super fund, in my opinion, is to have a corporate trustee. It gives really good ways to separate your assets that you own personally from the assets that are owned by the fund. And that's a requirement.
I totally agree with you, Neil. Absolutely.
Then we have other issues around time, the amount of time you can commit to running your self-managed super fund. Some research was done that identifies it takes about 8 to 10 hours a month to properly administer your self-managed super fund. So okay. If you haven't got the time commitment or that sort of willingness to invest that time in your fund, then maybe it's not for you. But the days of saying $500,000 is the starting point, or $250,000. Fortunately, that's behind us now. The association undertook some research with the University of Adelaide after the Productivity Commission came out and said that SMSFs underperform and cost more when the balances are below $500,000. So we took that to task and used our sort of industry reach with amazing partners like Class, BGL and Supermate. Now, these are the cloud software companies that administer about 80% of SMSFs. So through their software, we were able to access data, and that data showed us that fund SMSFs don't underperform APRA funds with balances even below $500,000. So that was a really strong starting point. ASIC acknowledged that in December last year when they released Information Sheet 274. And Information Sheet 274 took out the requirement to have a minimum balance for an SMSF of $500,000. So what that should do is give confidence to advisors and the licensees that you don't have to have a number next to a recommendation for a self-managed super fund. We go back to the fundamentals in advice law, which is it in the best interest of the client? Have I met my other regulatory obligations? And when you bring all of that together, the number becomes really irrelevant. So there's been a few things that have sort of come into play from an SMSF perspective. But if we go back to the consumer, you know, a simple product, strong financial literacy so that you can understand that you are a company director acting as a trustee of a fund. Now, as the trustee of a fund, you actually have a fiduciary obligation to act in the best interest of your members. Now, members means yourself and all the other members in your fund, and it also means the beneficiaries of those members. So I've got two children. That means as trustee, even though my children aren't members of my fund, they are ultimate beneficiaries of the money.
Of course.
Which means I have to make investment decisions that represent good decisions for their financial interests as well. And that's when you have to cover off things like insurance. You have to have an investment strategy. So if you're not prepared to document an investment strategy on how you're going to run your fund and actually bring it to life by operating within the rules you set, and that, again, is one of the beauties of SMSF, you've set those rules and now you're following them. It's a living, breathing document, so you can amend it when you need to. If you change direction, we don't like the share market, we like property, you change your trust investment strategy and you rewrite it, and then you follow it over on the other path. So incredibly flexible. But yeah, you have to review it every year as well. So as part of your end of year, where you sit down with your accountants and your auditors and you go through your fund lodgement and returns, you should really have a meeting of the trustees and discuss the year that was. What worked, what didn't work, capture it in a minute. That minute goes in your file. So that's an important part of this administration of a self-managed super fund. Very hands-on, not set and forget. So if you're not willing to do those things, then perhaps an SMSF's not for you.
Okay, so look, we're just about at our halfway point now of the show. You're here on Dollars and Making Sense, a show about money, finance and investing. And we're just going to go for a short break and we'll be back shortly. I have Neil Sparks from the SMSF Association and we're just going to go for a short break. Hi, and thank you for listening to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly radio program about finance, money and investing on Radio Northern Beaches and nationally on the community radio network around Australia. The views, comments and opinions aired during our program should not be construed or viewed as financial advice. Any commentary is general advice only and does not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. You should consider whether the advice is suitable for you and your personal circumstances. If in doubt, you should contact an authorised, licensed financial planner. We welcome questions and feedback, and you can get in touch with us via our blog, social media channels or email. Please search for Dollars and Making Sense in your favourite podcast platform or check out our blog at otgcapital.com.au/blog. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly show about finance, money, and investing. I'm your host, Ray Trevison. And today at the microphone, I have Neil Sparks from the SMSF Association. And we are talking all things SMSFs about, and are they right for you? Now, Neil, before we went to the break, you were talking about something that's really near and dear to my heart, and that's about the best interest, I think. You know, what's in the best interest for the trustee, the people that actually have the SMSF, but also the beneficiaries. So like you, I've got kids, and so they are part of the equation. Now, interestingly, I come across a lot of people that are considering these, and then they also talk a lot about outsourcing. Now, you wrote a really good piece in your article. It doesn't, and I'm quoting from it, it doesn't matter how many professionals you engage, get it wrong and you will pay the price. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by you will pay the price?
It's a really good question, Ray. So when you set up a self-managed super fund, one of the things you do is sign a trustee declaration for the ATO. Now, the ATO is the regulator of self-managed super funds. So basically, when you sign this declaration, you're effectively stating that you know everything there is to know about being the trustee and running and administering a self-managed super fund within the rules. Mm. I said before, the rules are complex. We're operating within the Superannuation Industry Supervision Act and regulations. So we shorten that, the SIS Act and SIS Reg.
SIS Act, yes.
Then you've got the Tax Act and you've got Corporations Law. So you're actually running across these three different pieces of legislation. And you sign a declaration that says you know everything there is to know about running this fund. The ATO brought in a range of administration penalties. So if you do the wrong thing, you can be held to an account. And the penalties range from 5 penalty units to 20 penalty units, or sorry, up to 60 penalty units. So a common mistake, for example, is if you didn't keep a signed document in your records. So if you didn't keep a copy of that trustee declaration or you failed to keep member records for 10 years, the trustee penalty, I think, is 10 units. So that's $3,130 because each unit is $313. So if you don't keep a record for 10 years, you've got a $3,130 fine. Now, that fine is per trustee. So if you've got individual trustees, mum and dad, it's $3,130 each. If you had a corporate trustee, it would just be $3,130. So again, we go back to always have corporate trustee. It's not recoverable from the fund. It's paid personally. So the SMSF doesn't pay the fine. The trustee does. Now, then we leap ahead. You get some more serious breaches, like breaching the borrowing rules. So when people make mistakes and they dip into their SMSF to top up their bank account, who's going to know? Well, you're going to get found out by the auditor and your accountants. Then you're going to cop a 60 penalty unit fine. Now we're talking $18,000. Mum and dad trustee, $36,000. Now, if you've got financial problems and you have to tap into your SMSF, hitting a $36,000 fine is going to be much worse. We then go ahead to things like the acquisition of related party asset rules in section 66. So if you deliberately take a residential investment property that you own and try and acquire it into your self-managed super fund, you could be looking at 2,000 penalty units, a $600,000 fine and up to
Wow.
So we go back to get advice. Surround yourself with a great team, SMSF specialists, financial planners, accountants, auditors. These people will have your back. They'll keep you on the straight and narrow. You've got to listen to the advice. It's not enough just to have them and engage them and retain them. You've got to follow the advice they give you. It's going to save you in the long run. It's money well spent. But we ultimately go back to, so if you've got an accountant and they're doing the administration of your fund, but you don't tell them everything and you break the rules, you can't go back to the accountant and say, I've got this fine, you have to pay it. You are ultimately responsible for what comes your way. Now, if you really breach the rules and you're a director of a company as trustee and the ATO takes a position where they ban you as being a director, well, if you happen to be a director of another company like your own business and you've been banned from being a director because of the mismanagement of your SMSF, you've actually blown up your career as well. So take it very seriously. Managing your retirement savings is a very important job. And get good advice. Surround yourself with amazing people and listen to them.
Now, one of the interesting factors that I really want to pick up a thread that we had before we went to the break is that talking about these one-stop shops, and I've got to tell you, I rail against these places because the number of people that have approached my own license to come and say, hey, Ray, we want to be, you know, we want to come under your AFSL. And I say to them, no, because when these product providers are out there and they tell, again, unsuspecting mums and dads that, hey, you can have your own self-managed super fund, and it's just about always revolved around property. And I don't know why it's like, you know, bees to honey, that the SMSF industry has attracted property developers in a manner that I think, you know, from an education perspective here on Dollars and Making Sense, I'm trying to do a public service here. Neil, I'm so happy to have you on the show, because you came out within the first 2 minutes and you were saying really what I wanted to be the primary message of this today's show is to say to people, look, be interested in an SMSF. Hey, they're great vehicles to save for your retirement, and the element of being self-managed I think is fabulous, but there are some real traps, and please do not listen to one-stop shops, because their only beneficiary that they're thinking about is themselves, not you. So and one of the things I think I always like people to be able to have a takeaway. I've known about the SMSF Association for a long, long time, because I've had my fund up and running, and I've known about you guys for a long time. But the SMSF Association, again, is a member organization, isn't it? It's all about advocacy. The work that you did with the ATO and the unis to I think, squash this notion of what ASIC was talking about was a great public service. But, Neil, maybe tell people about what they can do to dip their toe in the water. I mean, you've got a website. I mean, they don't necessarily have to be a member. I mean, I get your emails all the time without necessarily being a member.
So we're a professional association, so our members are advisors, accountants, and so on. So we don't have a consumer piece. We do have SMSF Connect, which is a trustee website. That's
the one I'm thinking about, yes.
Yeah, and you know, have a look around at some trustee education. And then we obviously have the ATO also has SMSF resources, so you can go on the SMSF the ATO website and look at the SMSF resources for trustees, and that will talk you through how to set one up, running one, investing, admin penalties. It will cover off, you know, all of those aspects, including how you wind up a fund if you are in one. So there's lots of resources available to trustees. The important thing is, if you are interested in going down the path, then we want you to make sure that you've got the right people around you. Now, when we say the right people, we believe that our SMSF Association professional members who have tested themselves through a rigorous sort of program of education and assessment to attain the peak designation in the self-managed super fund sector, which is the SMSF Specialist Advisor designation, or SSA, or for our audit friends, it's the SMSF Specialist Auditor accreditation, which is the SSAUD. So if you're a consumer and you're out there and you're thinking about SMSF and you've gathered your information, insights, and got a bit excited about it, don't listen to your friend at the barbecue. It's far too complex. Every single thing you want to do revolves around 5 to 10 different pieces of legislation. So you can't ask a question and get an answer in isolation. You need to speak to experts.
Good point. Good point.
So in doing so, come to the SMSF Association website, look at the Find a Specialist. There's a map of Australia with every single specialist registered on there. So you can click in your area and see who your local specialist members are and perhaps start with a conversation with them. All financial planners are very happy to speak to clients about self-managed super funds, and usually every first meeting is free. So there's nothing to be lost by seeking out an SMSF specialist to have a preliminary conversation with. And importantly, listen to the advice.
So the website, ladies and gents, is smsfassociation.com, not .au, but just .com. And from there, okay, so that's for the industry professionals, but let people know as well, I guess SMSF Connect is for us consumers out there. So I'm an SMSF trustee, so I'm not an SMSF professional, even though I have trained. I used to have qualifications in that space, but they're no longer up to date. But SMSF Connect has also got a great email service. That's how I saw your article. So you know, I get a weekly email from you guys that highlights all the SMSF things that are in the news, so I keep up to date that way. So if you know, listeners, if you're interested in this stuff, a great place to start. And Neil, you mentioned the government as well. So Money Smart, we always talk about Money Smart on Dollars and Making Sense. Great, great resource. But I find the SMSF Association, you know, as a starting resource, if anybody out there in listener land is considering starting their own self-managed super fund. And again, the stats that you quote, Neil, in your article are quite startling, that a lot of middle-aged women are now looking at SMSFs. Why do you think that's occurring?
Well, I think people obviously want to take control of their super, and that's what the SMSF gives them. It gives them a lot of choice and flexibility over the investments. So I think what we're seeing is the fact that younger ladies especially, so the cohort under 45, are looking at SMSFs. And so in the recent statistics, more ladies established SMSFs than men. Statistically. So it is interesting that we are seeing that sort of uplift in taking control of their financial future from a much younger age. So the age of SMSF trustees is absolutely up.
Well, that's great. They're all good starting points. And I have a lady called Philippa Hunt, who is a female financial planner, and she started her own education website called Wise Girls Money. And she's big on educating older women, because so many older women are now ending up homeless because of the lack of financial education, or the very patriarchal system that they grew up around. And so it's really heartening when, Neil, you make these stats available, that, you know, the vast majority of younger women are now taking control over their own financial education, but also their own financial security, that doesn't necessarily require a Y chromosome. And I think that's really positive. Neil, look, we've barely scratched the surface, and there's so much other stuff. So I think some of the key takeaways, ladies and gents, smsfassociation.com. I think that's a great starting place. Obviously, our website, where Dollars and Making Sense, Money Smart, we always talk about just about on a weekly basis here on this show. Neil, I'd like to have you back on the show, because there's so many more things I'd like to talk to you about SMSFs, about the audit process, about, you know, director in identification numbers. There's a tangled web of so much good information that we can be talking about, and we've barely scratched the surface today. Neil, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. I welcome the opportunity to have you back again in the near future.
Like that. Thank you, Ray.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time. You've been on Dollars and Making Sense today, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in the near future. Neil Sparks from the SMSF Association, thank you for your time.